from the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park and pop culture news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint, and as you know, Barry is out this week. He just got married, and he set sail on a cruise. So no episode this week with me and him, but we're still going to bring you an interview that I did earlier this week with Patrick Braylard from Universal Entertainment. They invited us out to Universal to chit-chat with him about Halloween Horror Nights. He's responsible for some of the mazes at Halloween Horror Nights, Stranger Things, just to name one. So yeah, sit back, relax, and enjoy this shorter episode this week of the Thrill Geek Podcast. And we should be back to normal again next week. So enjoy, guys. Patrick, give it a little introduction. How did you come about what you do here at Universal? And yeah.
All right. Hey, everybody. My name is Patrick Braylard. I'm one of the creative development show directors. This year, tasked with 5 of the 10 houses for Halloween Horror Nights 2018-28. I started, got my undergraduate degree and then became an actor and director in Seattle until 2004 when my wife and I moved down here. Shortly thereafter, I started as a performer here in the park, making people eat bugs for a living over at Fear Factor Live. So it's kind of a natural fit to go into Halloween Horror Nights.
I was going to say, that's where it started.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, it started when I was a kid. My parents never really, I say this a lot, my parents never censored me growing up watching movies or television or anything like that. They let me decide what was too much or what was too little for me. Yeah. So really, when we went to the video store, when those used to exist, I just walk the aisles and go, okay, that looks good, that looks good, that looks good. Take them home and start watching. So I've always been a fan of horror and always had a foot dipped in it. And then I saw that there was an interview for performance captains, what are now performance coordinators, in 2007, and had the opportunity to do that in 2007 for The Streets. And then in 2008, interviewed and was given a show director position for The Houses. Mainly because Mike Aiello was going on paternity leave for his son. So he had all the houses already developed at that year. And then I walked in the very first day and he had this giant binder of all of the treatments and all the narratives and all the technical breakouts and all the layouts and everything.
Yeah.
And he's sitting at a table and he goes, shh, and slides it across the table and goes,
here you go.
Here you go. You're up. And I'm like, wait a minute, what? And I'm like, okay, that becomes my Bible. That becomes, you know, every single word in there was gospel. So from there, what was interesting is that back in that day, we only did 7-8 houses.
Yeah.
So only, I should say.
which is only.
Yeah, only. But what was great about it is that I came in at a time where I had the opportunity to then develop radio advertisements for houses, queue line videos, things like that, which now in the process, we start so much earlier that I never would have had that opportunity to touch it as an assistant show director, much less a regular show director. And then throughout the course of the last 12 years for Horror Nights, I've had the opportunity to, again, work on Streets, work on houses, in concept phase from 2009 until present with all the houses, but also shows, Bill and Ted, Academy of Villains, been able to touch the event overall.
Yeah. I mean, I've been going to Halloween Horror Nights since number 5.
Oh, wow.
So I've seen the event, you know, progress and change and, you know, to see the 10 houses this year. And I've seen it go back to where I remember the creative team just a few years back saying, they started designing the event, you know, when this one ended.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember during the media event, you guys act, you're already well into designing 29.
Yeah.
So, okay. First things first, Stranger Things. Let's get the big one out of the way.
Yeah.
We came up with an interesting question about how do you take something like Stranger Things that's not necessarily a horror movie per se, it's
sure.
more suspense. And there's only one monster in the movie. And so explain how you take that and you turn it into a haunted house. Like, how did you guys, once you had Stranger Things locked in, you knew you were going with it and the design of the house started. How did that work out as far as designing a house with one monster? And it's not really a horror film per se, like Halloween or Poltergeist or something like that.
Yeah, it's interesting. I've heard it described as horror adjacent.
Interesting. I've never heard that.
Which is I agree with it, but I also tend to disagree with it, because if you go back and watch the show from the very beginning, the Demogorgon is in the first frame. When you see that lab attendant running down the hallway, you don't see him until much later in the series, because they want that. The Duffer Brothers built it as a slow burn. But if you go back and you watch, every single episode has a touch of the Demogorgon hunting the citizens of Hawkins or the boys throughout the entire thing. I mean, Will's taken in the first 10 minutes of the first season.
Yeah.
And that's the Demogorgon. You just don't see it happen on screen. And so what we wanted to do is we wanted to take those moments in which you might not have seen that character or that creature on screen, and we wanted to put you in that moment right when he did show up.
And, you know, not to spoil the house, because I've already been through it, the Demogorgon is everywhere.
It's everywhere.
It's a phenomenal house. I love it. I'm a huge fan of the show. And it was just really interesting that you could take something like that and turn it into, you know, something really horrifying. And the house is legit scary. I mean, there's some moments with the Demogorgon. I was shocked.
Yeah, it is interesting. I think that a lot of people are going to be coming to Halloween Horror Nights that are fans of Stranger Things and are just coming for that maze.
Oh, yeah.
And have no idea what they're going to get when they step inside that haunted house.
What to expect.
Right, because, you know, I mean, like, they're going to come thinking that it's a museum exhibit. They're going to think that, you know, oh, we're going to go to Mirkwood, and we're going to see the shed, and we're going to go
to the lab. That's kind of the gist that a lot of people have gotten with the big IP houses. It's more or less big set designs, you know, putting you in the movie, whereas with the Stranger Things house, I think it's the complete opposite. Like you said, you're actually putting those very intimate scenes throughout the house where you feel like you're in the show.
Right. You're parallel to that kid's, the boy's journey.
Exactly. Yeah. So, okay, let's move on to some of the originals. Cause you worked on,
for originals, Dead Exposure and, Scary Tales.
Scary Tales. With Scary Tales, you know, obviously there's been different versions of Scary Tales before. How do you guys approach when you guys do a sequel house, when you do something like that, when you go back and say, okay, let's revisit a house that's had several, you know, versions. Mm-hmm. What, how does that go about? Like, when do you guys decide to say, okay, let's go back and revisit Scary Tales or Dead Exposure?
Off the jump for Scary Tales, during concept phase, it was brought up. Somebody, and it might have been me, who knows, like, you know, you don't know where your idea ends and somebody else's
it
begins.
All ends up just blah,
blah, blah, blah. It becomes this huge stew, which is great, because that means that everybody is checking their ego at the door and everybody just wants to create the best possible product.
Sure.
We want the best experience for the guests, but I think I did it, I don't know, maybe been Charles. Somebody brought up Wicked Witch,
yeah,
and somebody said, okay, the Wicked Witch of the West, Oz, that's an amazing property for us to tag on to. Going back to The Wonderful Wizard of Oz, the original book, and as far as source material is concerned. And then it seemed a natural fit for us to take it to Scary Tales, because we immediately said, okay, if the Wicked Witch wins, how is she going to win?
What
is she going to do? And how is she able to impact all of the different fairy tales?
Yeah.
And so this giant whiteboard that we have in our concept area, the lab, we have this big whiteboard, and we just filled the entire thing of all of the different nursery rhymes, fairy tales, whether they were Brothers Grimm, or they were Aesop, or they were Mother Goose, or whoever it might be, and how we go about telling all of those stories and how she can corrupt the good as well as the bad.
Yeah.
But that's one of those fun ones where you can come up with dozens and dozens of different ideas, and
then
it gets whittled down to the core ones that you end up seeing.
I've been going, I mean, I can remember, I don't think I did the original Scary Tales house, but I remember the second one that was in the Popeye queue when they did Islands of Fear, and they've all been great. The Scream Punk one, and this one's no different. I love this one. I love the integration of the Wicked Witch. She's actually, I don't know which cast it was, but she's really, one of them's really good in there, and she's gotten me a few times, and I don't get scared a lot in these houses. The end part where she's kind of popping out all over the place.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's a really solid house. I love it. The facade is incredible with her up there with the cauldron. So I loved it. And,
thanks, man. That's awesome. We wanted to see the witch fly.
And
we got a flying witch.
Yeah. That's, you got it.
Exactly. Which is something that doesn't always happen. Sometimes we're like, we want this. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
What do we want to sacrifice to get that? And this year, we sailed under a lucky star and got the things that we really wanted to see as fans. Because that's the number one thing we do. We always end up approaching all of our houses as guests first. We want it. We want to be the person who walks through for the very first time and goes, "This is amazing! I can't believe they built it."
Yeah, I mean, overall, all 10 houses, the set design this year is incredible. Kind of on that same topic of, you know, making a decision on what happens and what doesn't happen. Do you have, out of the houses that you helped design, do you have a particular moment in any of them that you're particularly proud of?
I do love the facade of Scary Tales.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of the team being able to pull off Stranger Things.
Yeah.
It could have gone a number of different ways, but Netflix was such a strong partner for us and provided us with so many assets as far as video and audio and lighting and production stills and all of the costume and character designs that it really made it a great partnership so that we could grow that story for the guests. Because you'll notice that none of the major characters that we've got shown inside the maze are scares.
Yeah.
They're all in support of the story,
mm-hmm.
which leaves it the opportunity for us to be able to have the Demogorgon everywhere
yeah.
and jump out and attack us. Also, I think that the attention to detail that the decor and scenic teams paid to not only that maze, but all of the mazes this year is something that is fantastic. I think you're right. I think that the scenic team went above and beyond as far as
they really
how they
did.
Detailed every maze.
I mean, I was every house I went into this year, I was blown away by the set design, the attention to detail everywhere. Just it blew me away. So really quick, also with Trick or Treat this year,
yeah,
you know, we just had the Scare Zone last year. Was it difficult designing a house this year based on a Scare Zone that we just got last year to where it was fresh enough and it wasn't just a copy and paste? I mean, it's a Scare Zone versus a haunted house. Was it difficult to transition from Scare Zone last year to haunted house this year with Trick or Treat?
You know, yes and no. I was such a fan of what Blake and his team did last year. Blake Braswell, show director for The Streets.
Yeah.
I was so thrilled and passionate about what he created and his team was able to pull off in The Streets that when we decided that we were going to advance Trick or Treat into a haunted house,
yeah.
I was like, yeah,
yeah,
finally we get to take it. We get to build it out and blow it out and put you in the film. Like, I was so excited because I'm a monster fan of that particular film.
I
love Doherty's movie, which is great because it means that we then got an opportunity to decide, do we want to tell the story linearly? Do we want to tell the story how it happens in the, like, is it a beat by beat retelling of the movie, or mm-hmm. do we just do location based and we just travel around Warren Valley, Ohio, and trying to figure out how to get from
yeah.
point A to point B?
Yeah.
So that became more fun than it became a challenge.
Yeah.
It was so much more fun to do because you're like, okay, yeah, we know we're going to go to Krieg's house. Spoiler alert. We know we're
Shh, no.
But it's Trick or Treat. If you haven't watched the movie, go watch the movie and then come to the event.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to go to Krieg's house. You're going to see Sam everywhere. You're going to have the opportunity to experience Wilkins and all of his very different guises. And by the way, side note, when putting that house together, you realize just how busy Principal Wilkins is that night. He's super busy.
Like, he's got this going on, and
that man has a lot going on.
Digging this,
exactly.
Burying that.
Yeah, he's murdering. He's murdering trick or treaters. He's getting. He's cosplaying vampires.
Like, you're a busy man.
He's getting killed by werewolves. Like, he's got a lot going on. So,
yeah.
So it. But what was really fun about that is that we were able to show all the different moments of his kind of pathway as he travels
yeah.
through the story as well. So that was a lot of fun.
I love the not to, again. Spoiler alert, the puppet at the beginning where
yeah.
Sam's on the guy, and I've seen those puppets before. That was really cool, and I'm a huge fan of the movie, and I loved it. The other thing that I really wanted to touch on, kind of along the same line with Trick or Treat, kind of transitioning, with Horrors of Blumhouse.
Yeah.
You know, years past, you know, it's two IPs in one house, and this year you've got the first Purge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the first Purge.
Yep.
Sorry. And Happy Death Day.
Mm-hmm.
How challenging is it to transition from movie to movie in the house and designing one house with two IPs in it? Because it's a daunting task to create a house on one IP. Is it just as challenging to squeeze two movies into one house?
I think that it's I love that question because it speaks to things that we've done in the past of Horrors of Blumhouse last year, where we had three different movies inside the house.
Yeah, you had three.
And it all depends on which properties and how the flow of the house comes up during design.
Yeah.
We talk about, and I think that this year is a great example of this, in that the dynamic is either going to flow very naturally from one to the other, i.e. Sinister into Insidious. Like, you've got that kind of a flow that it just worked last year.
It really did,
This year, it's a hard edit. It's a hard cut, which is a lot of fun for us as creators. It's almost like we're building two houses or giving you a double feature inside of one maze.
Yeah.
Because we've got the opportunity to have Happy Death Day, which plays to that Groundhog Day. If you haven't seen that movie, go watch it.
I had to watch it. That was one of my homework movies I had to watch because I hadn't seen it. So I was like, okay, Happy Death Day is coming. I got to see it. So it was actually an entertaining film.
It's a fun little movie.
It's a fun movie.
It's a fun movie. It is.
It sounds like, sick and twisted, but it's...
Right. It's just... That fun kind of style of horror where it's top level and it's just kind of it's there to entertain you and it's you're gonna chew a bunch of popcorn while you're watching it. But then what's great about it is that there is that hard edit right in the middle of it where we slam to black and then it's nothing but sirens and purge scroll and
the
it's,
purge sign.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know exactly where you're going at that point. And then we allow you to dive into Staten Island into the first purge, which is great because it gave us an opportunity to not have to worry about nostalgia.
Yeah.
Because these films both came out within the last year and a half, we had the opportunity to play on that. It's like these are two fresh tales, but they're completely different.
Yeah.
And it gave us the opportunity to also showcase one very large style set aggressor in the babyface.
Yeah.
Mask killer. And then all of the diversity of the characters within the first purge. Because you've got Skeletor and you've got all the other characters that are lining that, which gave us an opportunity to not only play to the original kind of slasher feel to Happy Death Day, but then the super aggressive nature of all the characters in the second half.
Yeah. Really quick, going back to kind of the originals, which are always my favorite. You know, I love the IPs. There's always fantastic houses based on those, but my dear heart is always for the originals.
it's our bread and butter. We've been doing it for 28 years.
Exactly. And like I told you, I've been going since 5, so the originals have always been, you know, close, dearest to my heart. With Dead Exposure, those types of houses where you really rely on the I went to the original Dead Exposure house. It was incredible. The play on light, and how difficult is it designing something like that versus just a traditional haunted house where it's not really based upon strobe lights and lighting versus just, you know, scare actors, you know, timing their scares?
Dead Exposure Patient Zero is, and its predecessor, the original Dead Exposure, they're unlike any other mazes that we've done in our history.
Yeah.
And you have to approach them differently. With the original, as well as the newest one, you kind of have to take all of the rules and throw them away, and that stems from that includes not only how you decor it, but also how you light it, the audio that goes into it, but also how you direct the actors inside of it, because they can behave differently in that maze than they can in any other maze.
Yeah,
because of the blackouts and being able to move on those and then
move on cues with different lights,
exactly,
and lighting,
and they are far more dependent upon those lighting cues than they are, would say, in a trick or treat, where you know they're affecting the lighting by coming out and hitting their trigger, as opposed to being a part of that scene.
Yeah.
For the maze this year, it was a lot of fun to be able to dive in and be able to show the different varied locations within Paris.
Yeah.
It was a lot of different fun to be able to take them from a medical lab to the metro, to the catacombs, to the crypts, and then hit them over the head with really messing with their equilibrium and the light, bright white strobes and the colored strobes at the very end.
Yeah.
You don't necessarily feel good walking out of that maze.
No, you don't. It's a little woozy.
And for a good reason.
Like, yeah.
We wanted to really mess with people's equilibrium and mess with how we disorient them. It's also a lot of fun to be able to take an entire maze at rollout and talk to the tech teams and go, okay, for those of you who weren't here in 2008 when we did this house the first time.
Yeah.
You're going to have to trust us a little bit because the house isn't going to look pretty until it's finished.
It's one of those ones where you turn on the lights and you're like,
right. Exactly.
Oh.
This
is it.
Yeah. Because you have the task of taking a house that we would normally create, decoring it scenic, making it exactly the way it's supposed to be. And then you paint everything black.
Yeah.
which is kind of like a, why would you cover up all that art?
Why are you doing that?
Right. But then you go back and you dust it with UV respondent paint and it really pops.
Like, yeah.
You know exactly where you are only in those brief moments of flashing, which is completely kind of counterintuitive to what we normally do.
I think my favorite scene in that house is the subway car. I think that's one of my favorite scenes in the house.
It certainly has that cinematic flair.
Yeah.
Like it could be in a movie where you see that pop, 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 pop.
Yeah. Like the sound of the subway car roaring by and everything. It was just, I think that was my favorite scene in the house. And it's really cool when something like that happens because it's almost surreal and you're like, where am I? It's like we said at the beginning when we started talking about it, the disorientation in that house is unreal. So, I think that's about it. I mean, I think we're good. I think we got through everything. So okay. We can wrap it up here. Patrick,
I've been playing the part of Barry. I hope that you all have enjoyed the performance. If you haven't, go ahead and send letters care of Thrill Geek and, tweet at them. Yeah. At them all the time. Just at them. Just
get at Thrill Geek.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just
let
us
know.
Just at Thrill Geek. Just blast them.
So
on all the social channels.
Allie, thank you so much for having us out. Universal, thank you so much for having us out. Patrick, it was awesome.
Clint,
thank you so much. And thanks, guys, for listening.
Hey,
and
happy anniversary, by the way.
Thank you.
Yeah.
One year today. We recorded episode one 1 year ago today, me and Barry. And here we are today at Universal Studios recording. So, I'm quite proud of everything that we've done. Thank you guys for listening. And here's to another year and another 10,000 downloads.
Absolutely.
So, thanks again, Patrick.
No problem.
All right. Take care, guys.
Happy Halloween.